Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are very grateful that You're in our midst today, that we are gathered around You in a way which it has not been possible before, for there was always that distance, but how approachable through Jesus, our blessed High Priest. But now there has come a difference when You set Yourself the head of the church in order to raise the dead, and will raise us up with You. And we are of the full knowledge and accord with You this afternoon, Lord, through the revealed word of the prophet coming to us. And we're grateful for that. We thank You for it, O God. We have no hope in anything else but that Your blessing is upon us. We revel in it, Lord. We stand in it on Christ, that solid rock of revelation, and nothing else. And we praise You, Lord. We bring nothing to it, but You bring all things to us. And we thank You, Lord, that this is the meaning of grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we want to continue in the subject of why He is present. That's number 5C, continuing with the thoughts of the judge. And sometimes you never realize how important a subject matter can be to you in the lives of people. I received a phone call Saturday from a brother I've known over a period of time, casually by acquaintance, but also by letter and by phone call. And he asked me some questions which I would not have been able to answer, except I had been going deep into this subject, of which we intend to go much deeper as time goes on, as to why He is present. And we'll be bringing out some of the thoughts, again, as to why I was able to answer his questions and what I really had in mind which was helpful for him, though I might not allude to it directly in that way. Now, just before we begin, this last week I was thinking as I go back on Brother Branham's life, and I remember I gave you a quote where Brother Branham said, "Things are happening out there in the desert so fast I cannot keep track of them." Well, now, I know the grass wasn't blooming or growing underfoot. The desert remained the desert. And I know that the cactus wasn't particularly unfolding into leaves. And I knew that he wasn't out there prospecting for gold and finding the lost Dutchman mine, because that's merely a legend. There's nothing to it. Prophet said so. If you ever get thinking it's anything else and some lady prophesies you're going to find it and make money, she's a phony as a $3 bill. The same as the Dutchman that fell on his head or something during the war and came out a psychic, and he said they were going to find it. Ain't no Dutchman's mine to be found. So now, nor the pot at the gold pot at the end of the rainbow, but there's eternal life in Christ. So I just want to let you know. But anyway, nothing like that out there in the desert. And I got to thinking one day, well, what's happening so fast? It was in the man, in the revelation. Now, then it came to me, and I thought, Brother Branham, on more than one occasion, behind the curtain of time, he said, "I'll never be the same." And then he said another time, "Plumb changed my thinking." Now, you see, if you put it together, you'd understand that Brother Branham was talking about God doing something in him. Now, you say, well, the great thing that he'll never be the same and have a bigger ministry. Uh-uh. Look, prophets fizzle. Ministries fizzle. They don't come back. Now, look, I've got history for it. Don't kid yourself. Jesus had a ministry, great ministry, it fizzled. Never came back. Dr. Price had a great ministry, never came back. Heaven forbid I should mention her, but Mrs. McPherson had a great ministry. It never came back. Ministries only indicate. And in the prophet's case, vindicate. But the word of the Lord never fails and stand assured.
Amen.
So God was never telling Brother Branham, look, a bigger ministry, a bigger this, a something here, a something there. It's what we've been talking about all along. It's this inside by revelation. I just was going over the tape yesterday. I put the little books in my own little volumes most of the time, loose leaf style. And on my desk, a certain book. And I thought, well, I'll look in there to look at one of Brother Van's sermons. And I picked up this special message. Funny, it just left my mind. I'll get it later on, a minute or two. And it had to do with him recounting the snowstorm in Arizona on the anniversary of his marriage to Meadey, October 23rd. That was 64, whatever anniversary that was. And I watched carefully the words that he said, because he never ever told the people all of what he told me, but he mentioned in there that change. And in there that change was that Brother Branham, he hints it, but he doesn't put it out right, that there's no guilt. Now, you see, the prophet is a sort of a first fruits. The husbandman must be partaker before he can give anybody anything. Now, how can a person preach born again if he's not born again? Now, I know it sounds like he could, and something could happen. Maybe there is some little trick in there I'm not aware of. But Brother Branham said Philip had the seed. You uncouple the word. All right. Now, the man said to Philip, in the desert, that eunuch, he said, of whom does he speak? Of himself or another person? And Philip then gave him the word of the Lord, and the man said, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And he said, nothing if there's any water. And evidently there was water. And the man's baptized. You don't baptize men in sin. It'd be impossible. You gotta come up. Not with these eyes full of sand. Water.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You can stand on sand, but there's a difference. Water clears the eyes, clears the head, and so on. Gives light. So, Philip was carrying that seed. Now, we're looking at a reality today that is over the heads of the people because of its sheer simplicity, and not realizing that the prophet is the living word of God made manifest. Quote, Feast of the Trumpets. Now, as the husbandman of the word to the bride and the keeper, the one to dress a bride, she said, the one to help this bride, bring this bride in, you watch his life and you will notice that what I have said stands true, that God gave him revelation for the purpose of the man's own life, as well as the believer. Because, as I've said many times, Moses ate the same manna, and it did the same good, and no different, and judged by the same word, because he struck the rock twice, as the people who got the manna because he brought it down. Now, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you according to Scripture, and according to prophet. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the change in the atoms occurs by our flesh building around the Word of God in human vessels. Now, this is why it's so important that the message that's coming forth must have that understanding. Otherwise, you will simply call it a message, not a word of life. It is no longer let there be light, said the prophet. When the light comes, the word is gone. It is now reality. We are not walking anymore in a word. We are walking in a life. The word once more is becoming flesh, many-membered. And that portion of the Logos, which remains upon earth in human flesh, will take on glorified structure. See? Not because the blood, and not because you're born again. That opens the door. It is he himself, as the one that went down in prison. Now, those who didn't get Tuesday's tape, you better get it. Know what I'm talking about. Wednesday's tape. We'll go back. We'll have to just get this meeting changed to Tuesday, because my mind is complete. I got a reason for it, too, because some Thursdays you're going to get and talk about the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I was so torn up this week, if I had not made phone calls this morning, I would have come here and bitten heads off. I'm not kidding you. I wouldn't have wiped up the foot washing, but you'd have heard some pretty murderous things said in this pulpit. But I softened it down. I'm waiting for a message to come, and I'm going to say some things that's going to put the church right on its toes because you're lagging. You're still playing games. And it's too late. It's too late. See? Now look, this is a dead serious time we're in. We got to realize we are not dealing with a message or a subject per se. We are dealing with reality.
Amen.
The Roman Catholics take a little bit of bread and they say that's God. Let me tell you, this word spoken under anointing is the Spirit of Almighty God.
Amen.
And that word from your mind, and Brother Branham said, I will never think the same. And he said, I will never be the same. I kid you not. See, I fool you not. This word is real. See? Now, I'm not standing here as though I'm some big shot. Don't ever think so. But I'm going to tell you something. He takes the beggar off the dung heap. I never knew till this hour what he meant when he really said, Paul said, don't get a smart man to figure anything. Get a dumbo. He almost got decapitated today because of smart men. But I've drawn my horns in. Now, I want you to know I'm serious. Look, I'm not here to be a dictator. Now, let's get there. I'm not here to intimidate you. But I want you to know one thing. I'm not fooling. Look it. You meet face to face with reality. There's one place you don't fool here. I don't handle this word insincerely and foolishly up here. I may be a fool out there. But here, and I may cut up a little bit, relax you a bit. But you know my seriousness and my intent. Because I'm responsible. And you're responsible. Everybody's responsible. It's not talking about him as though it's a myth. There's reality. And the fight has just been engaged. We got our cut a little bit quicker than most anybody does because this message has come down through my ministry, taken from a prophet, and without the prophet, I would have no more idea about this than I have about the spiders on Mars, if there's any up there. Or if they do have any spiders up there. So we're in a serious position, and Brother Branham said, my thinking has been changed. Well, where's ministries? Where's character? Where's fruit? Huh? Where's that power of ministry? See, all these things, where are they? They're gone. They're gone. You see, they forget what he's here for. To put himself at the head of the church. Now, Brother Branham made a way to say, whacko, head of the church. Boom. Now, your mind can go 50,000 directions, and every direction is wrong until you go to this word. And he made another statement. In order to raise the dead. What's that God do with you and me? Nothing. Not if you hit the dead. But he didn't go to the dead. He went to the living. So the living's got something to do with raising the dead. That's what Brother Ban said. The bride will raise the dead. Ah, she's not going to raise the dead. Go out there and raise, pick them out of the ground? Come on. No. It's what's in the bride. See? Now this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with his presence. And in this presence is judged. And I'm going to take a lot of time with this subject. I have two reasons. One, I'm lazy. Now, you didn't think I'd say that. But I'm lazy. Secondly, I'm smart enough to be lazy. Because if I push, I'll miss it and I'll hurt you. So my lazy nature is very admirably suited to receive revelation because I can sit and think or fall asleep. I'm very much like the guy who said, you know, when I works, I works. When I sit, I sit. And when I think, I fall asleep. I'm suited because I'm lazy. And you haven't caught what I'm telling. I'm telling you plain and simple. I don't want to hurt myself. And I mean, I'm talking personally about my little own little feelings of energies and all. I'm not going to push myself to hurry this subject. And if you sit here and you got on your mind, judge, 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 please go now. Because you may be getting tricked by what I'm doing. Because it's already happened, but not with judge. If you can't talk about him and think about him, why do you want to go see him? If you can't stand Lee Vale, why would you come to my house? Or why would you say, come to my house, Lee Vale? I'm talking about Jesus now. Logos and the Persian. Touche? Huh? You with me? We're not guessing. Now, if you don't like it, you got little pink feelings, you're in for a rough time. Now, I'm a little rough today, but that's all right. We'll get the edges off shortly. We'll put them on real good, one of the two. Now, I'm lazy. Now, that's why there's no smarting off, see? Because he's here. Brother Brand said there's no sincerity in his presence. When he was here in the pillar of fire, not ministering through the body of the word, they chewed gum, they walked around. Now, I told you I was in Chicago. I may never get to preaching. Don't worry. You need this. In Chicago, and Brother Brand said, Lee, after the seals, he said, I want you to go on the platform and tell the people who I am. Now, if he hadn't have said that, it would have been easy. I'd love to have shot my mouth up. Tell the whole world everything I shouldn't be telling. But the minute he said, you tell who I am, fear gripped my heart. Well, I can't talk about a man. See, when you're supposed to talk, you're shot. You ain't supposed to talk, you're in your big fat mouth. Right? Every time. So I got myself under control. I told them who he was. That night in the after service, there was milling. There was a gum chewing. There was a running around. The inattention. And he was discerning the terror of our hunger. I told him the next night. And there was only 50% of movement. I told him a third time. There was stillness through the whole meeting. And by the last meeting, the miracles were moving all over the place because they knew who he was. And Brother Branham on different tapes said, if you only know who I am, you'd be healed. I'm looking at three girls, and I'm looking at some more girls, and I'm looking at everybody. Every one of you needs something from God by way of your body. There's one of you doesn't need something, and you know I've been beefing for a long time about my arthritis, and I am the alpha, because A, alpha star arthritis is alpha. So, I got the alpha disease. Just knowing who he was as a prophet, you'd be healed. Then if you know him, who he is, and you will. And when you know that sweet spirit comes into the church, and it's right around the corner, be my guest, I'm telling you. It's right around the corner. You'll all be healed. Nobody's going to sit into the promised land. And I'm not even talking about your personal team. All right? Seriousness. To know who he is and to become obedient unto him. Look, I make phone calls. People make me phone calls. I should make recordings. It's just plain to you. See, you know, really, people have thought I fooled when I talked about these changes and these things going on until Lloyd in the meeting quietly testified what happened to him. And Lloyd will tell you. I saw it on his face and came and talked to Lloyd. And I'm going to tell you. 3 Wednesdays ago, I looked and I relaxed because I knew. And they sang Beulah Land. I saw that spirit cutting in as it left us from yonder with our problems. Now that's why I'm uptight today. I don't want any more problems of any kind about anywhere. Because I intend to preach this afternoon, get moving yet. And that calmness, that word's going to start cutting in. It's got to because of his life and his word. I want to tell you, brother, sister, God's moving. And we've moved from what I have taught you to the prophet, which is transitional. Brother Branham said it takes a prophet to turn the corner. God is his own prophet. He's also his own judge. There comes a time, and there must be a time, and that time has got to be right in this hour. But the prophet said the judgments of God are in the earth. We are going to see that transition. Now, I hope you understand now where we stand. If I come a little tough on you, you know one thing. It isn't going to hurt you one little bit. It's going to make you smarten up. You need smartening up. It's going to smarten me up, too. By the grace of God, we're all in the same boat. But we cannot waver. See? Your minds must be set. The minds aren't set, you'll get nowhere. All right, our minds are set by the grace of God. We read again in the book of Revelation then on the judge, and I'll weave some of these things that I've been talking to you about in preamble. And I want to be right in my heart and what I say now in these things. He said here in the 12th verse, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Now he turned, and you'll notice that the voice, or the purveyor of the voice, the conveyor, the speaker, was in the bride. He wasn't any place else. Stand at the door and knock. Spirit and the bride say, come. He's not anywhere else. Down in the Lord's day. In the midst of 7 golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Doesn't say he's like under, says like a Son of Man. Clothed with the garment down to the foot, girt about the paps, golden girdle, that's around the breast, head and hair, like wool, white as snow. Eyes as flame as fire. Feet burned as if they burned in a furnace. They were brassy. Voice the sound of many waters. 7 church ages have gone by, and all the witnesses had to have one voice, which was his voice, or it didn't mean anything. Standing there is the light. Men bringing their deeds to the light. What light? Their religious output. We ain't never going to get going. Look. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain who slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his deeds were evil. Huh? This is a condemnation that lights men of the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And Ephesians says, you must bring your deeds to the light. I am talking of spiritual understanding of worshiping God according to this word. That's evil! That's the real evil. You say, Brother Vail, it's adultery. You're wrong. It's not adultery. It's the perverting of God's word, making God a liar. And the first thing said in the garden was a lie. And the next thing said by Cain was a lie. And the first sin in the bride was a lie. Ananias and Sapphira. I know preachers who lie day and night, and I know people who lie. I'm not talking about your hand in a cookie jar. I'm talking about the premeditated lies. You say, Brother Vail, what is the difference? Because a man born of God does not premeditate sin. He can get caught, and he's weak. It wasn't Eve that premeditated, it was the serpent that premeditated, and it was Cain that premeditated. And Ananias and Sapphira premeditated. And the light through the ages that stood there, revealing God's order of divine worship in the church, stood there for seven church ages until at the end time, looking into the day of the Lord, he was a judge. What do you think today of women with cut hair exposing themselves and men cheering them on? A church full of blasphemy and idolatry. You're going to judge by the word. You're going to judge. Here he stands, feet of brass. See? The light of seven church ages now in judgment. And you say, well, how can it be? Because you read in the book, fill up the cup of iniquity. And I'll bring upon you all the sins from righteous Abel. The first gyre of the human mixture, Cain, killed the righteous Abel who stood in the truth. Yep. Right on down. Cup of iniquity being filled, I'll require the blood of every one of this generation. All the light of seven church ages ends in a lie. Because it starts in a lie. And the original lie in the bride was, we believe what is going on. But their actions showed different in their words, and they lied. They conspired. Now we'll move on from that one. All right. Right hand, seven stars. God entrusting the power of his whole sovereignty to the lips of men. Then sending one final spirit at the end age in a man to make sure it didn't fail. Or he said with feet of brass, the Son of Righteousness standing there, that sword ready to destroy. He said, I'll still rise with healing in my wings for those at the end of the age, though it just about looks like that there isn't any use. I'll wipe it all out. You follow what I'm saying? That's at this end time, the judge. Priest and the bride. It was the bride, inadvertently, of course, but it was. The bride that lost her virtue in the first church age. The threefold loss of a wrong Jesus, a wrong spirit, a wrong word. Seven ages after, he's down here in the midst to bring her back. Standing in her midst, the same light. And notice, he perpetrated that through seven men. The last age, he uses a man called Elijah, which is one of the seven. It's a spirit. Out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Countenance as the sun. I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Signifying the day of judgment, the day of death. The day of the plagues of Egypt, where death comes in spiritual and physical. And he stands in the bride. And he takes John by the shoulder. He said, don't be afraid. Put his right hand on him. Now God's Jesus at the right hand of God, in the right hand seven stars, then upon John was put the full weight of the word that would come in seven solid ages, and he puts it right down here. And he said, don't be afraid. Now, have you lost your fear? Do I intimidate you? Now, you can get intimidated by leave him, so you should, because I'm not kidding. But God doesn't intimidate you. No. No, yeah. I can be pretty rough, and you can sit there, and well, you might think soberly, and so you ought to think soberly, and you better think soberly. Because you'd better. Till your minds are completely filled with this, because this is what it's all about. This is where the prophet said, my thinking is entirely changed. All my thoughts are of God. It's not beyond any of us. He said, fear not. And I'm going to tell you, from that moment, all of John's thoughts were changed. And John had no fear, for he saw himself in the Lord's day, and he is representative of us, and especially the prophet William Branham. See, because Elijah stood with Moses in the preview of the kingdom, where in both grace and law, or the law and the prophets, and grace was manifested before the kingdom. Now here he is. Now, let's read a couple excerpts. I won't take all day like last day. Too hard on you, too hard on me. Paragraph 165. Well, I'll go to 160. Let me see what I want to read here. Page 102, beginning in paragraph 100. All right. I'll go up a little further here. Now, here's more proof that this doctrine is right about being the Lord's day. Did you notice him? He was not a priest during this time. Neither was he king. He was a judge. I want you to notice the words, priest, judge, king. Notice a priest, a high priest, when he went in the sanctuary to minister. See, he didn't have that girdle. Below he had the bow. He wasn't in his priesthood. Now, John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as the judge. Now, that may think I use contradiction what I'm saying here. You wait a while. That's right, he's judge, supreme judge. And John sees that he wasn't in the day of his prophecy. We got a prophet that's so mixed up he can't tell. He's talking in the Holy Ghost. I don't think William Branham even knew what he's saying here. I'm not saying he didn't know, though he didn't know. I'm just saying he didn't know the impact. Because person sitting there says, just a minute now, he said, what are you talking about there, William Branham? You say he's a priest over here, and I said, what about prophet? What's his prophet job? What's his prophet stuff? What are you talking about? Now make up your mind. What is he? Oh, I like this. I'll tell you what, I think it's good stuff. Yeah. You believe he's judge? John 5:22, for the Father judges no man has committed all judgment on the Son. He's judge, supreme judge. John C., he wasn't the day of his prophecy, he's a prophet. Neither plumb out into the days of his kingship, but he was in the day of the Lord as judge. That's about the girdle. That's right, right up here he was the judge. Daniel 7. And here he is showing again that John's over in the Lord's day saw him as judge, amen, not as priest, not as king, not as prophet. No, he really messed that up. Not as priest, not as king, not as prophet, judge. As he said in John 5:22, and he judged now, come to judge the nations. Someday those freed of Bass. He'll tread the Antichrist and all of his enemies. Hallelujah. Two-edged sword. Take Hebrews 4:2. Just right back to page or two and you'll get it. See, Hebrews is just behind Revelation here. Jude and then Hebrew and so on. Word of God's quicker, more powerful, and sharper than two-edged sword. Piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints of marrow. And discern the thoughts and intents of heart. And then they call you a mind reader. Who's he talking about? Himself. Who's he talking about? Judge. Who's he talking about? One that's here. Well, I never saw him outside the bride. You don't see much like the bride down the road. That's king, judge, prophet, priest. Bride. Not mixed up. Not mixed up, no. People are mixed up. They're Jesus only. That's the whole trouble with a lot of people. They think they believe one God. They're Jesus only. God can't be born. God can't die. Jesus is a man. But you can't separate any part of redemption from him, the man, not having a part in it. But you've got to watch which one does which and under what conditions. I just happen to think something of Scripture here again. Revelation 19:11, behold a white horse. He comes white again, judgment. He's not in the bride now, is he? Sat upon a horse. He was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now, he wasn't making war in the bride. Now he's making war with the bride. Yeah? We've got to see some cute little things in here, a little different. Sharp two-edged sword. What was going on? What was going out of the mouth of this person? The word of God is sharp two-edged sword. What's it doing? Discerning the thoughts of the heart, the intents, going even deeper than meet the flesh, the blood cells and the bones, and down to the marrow of the bone. Come beyond that. Discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what it's all about. To get down in here. And it won't get there until it's here in the mind. See? It's got to come by the proper channels. Discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God does. The sun shining in his strength. Oh, the strength of the Son of God shining in the midst of the night. Standing in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. And his seven spoiled personage here is judged. Where does it say he's standing? Right here. Now listen. As one who has suffered and died for us and taken the divine judgment upon himself and has tread the wine press the fierceness of God to the sinners of horrible cataracts and a loose soul upon the sea of life and to the church of sweet Savior, angered and rest the hearing of the bubbling brook as you lay in rest perfectly satisfied in Christ, what a time, shining upon us with his warm rays. Fear not, I am he which was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Beside me there is none, I am Alpha and Omega. I'll give unto him the fountain of life. I'll give him the source of fountains of water life freely. Oh, what a promise. What a love affair it is. And the Lamb, the middle of the city, and so on. All right, the Son of Righteousness, healing his wings. Where does that take place? Yeah. Now his countenance. He was a judge. He was during the Lord's Day. Everybody thinks the Lord's Day is when he comes with a sudden big blast. And judges all the nations. You're wrong. I showed that in Isaiah. It's a period of time. The Lord's day has facets. The Lord's day's got two sides of a coin. Don't you want to be in the Lord's day? I do. I want to be in his great day on the right side of the ledger. You bet your sweet life. I want to be riding those horses with him. See, now we're getting somewhere. See? He was a judge, or another thing to show he's over in the Lord's day. You believe that? He went to the Lord's day and saw the Lord as judge, not as priest, not as king, not as judge, but as judge. He is the judge. Don't you believe that? The Bible says he's a judge. All dressed as a judge, showing what he had done, what he was, and what he was to the sinner, what he was to the Christian. Then that's now. Here he stands now. Now you say, well, he's talking about the Scriptures just standing there now. He didn't say that a while ago. Didn't say that a while ago. He wasn't talking about Scripture, talking about us. Here he stands, the voice of many waters, the countenance of shining in his strength. No. Don't get scared. Why should we fear? Why would the church fail to keep his word? Let's stop and think a minute. We're closing. Why would this church ever fear? What has he ever promised that he hasn't manifested before us? Why would you fear a punishment or a hereafter? Fear not. I am he that was, he that is, and will come, and I am the first and the last. I have the keys of hell and death here. Who needs keys of hell and death after you're over there? Amen. Yeah. Who needs to be resurrected once you're resurrected? My wife puts dinner on the table. She says, I'll put dinner on the table. I say, you've got to be nuts. I ate my dinner. Oh, well, I'm religious, you see. I'm spiritual-minded, you see, my dear husband. Oh, God. You see what I'm saying? I hope you see what I'm saying. What's done is done. Why do you want the keys of hell and death if we need them on this side? You don't need them on that side. You need them on this side. I need to get out of here. It's on this side the exceeding greatness of His power is manifested. The same thing that raised Jesus is going to get a hold of us. Why? It's the promised word, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell nor see my body corrupt. We're not even going to go beyond the curtain of time. It's going to come to us. Oh, man, you talk about a ball. Listen. And people think this is some dead thing without talking in tongues and running and jumping. That's what's dead. The word's gone out of it. The life is out of their word. Amen. The life is in this word here. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. Why? He said, I have the keys of hell and death right here. Why? I've overcome and conquered both death and hell. That's both grave and the Hades. Death itself. Hades itself. For you. I've overcome it all. I overcome hell, grave, and death. Now, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good if he came to give a revelation they were already a part of in its manifestation? Why, do you mean to tell me that I'm going to be absolutely changing my members and I won't know it? Now, if you don't know it, you just ask me and I'll pick you with a pin. And if you believe, I can tell you right there, you ain't changed. Or if you ain't fast enough to get through that wall, if I was going to hit you with a crowbar, you wouldn't have to be worried because the crowbar just goes through. You go through the crowbar. What's the difference? You ain't changed. Right. Come on. You know if you're a part of this revelation or not.
Amen.
You know. Come on. This is reality. We're not sitting in some bygone day, brother, sister. Look, it was just a word until this hour, but it's no longer a word. Immortality is no longer a word. It's a reality. Never dying is no longer a word. It's reality. Some of us today have got to be standing here. Never die. See him standing there in the supremacy's deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the Alpha Omega. See, man, what isn't he? He's everything. He which was just to come and shall come. Tread out the wine press of fierce of God. Pleased everything. Pleased everything until God set up the cross. And he raised him up, it's finished. Please God the Spirit that left him, came back on Easter morning, picked him up and raised him again for our justification. There John looked up and saw him standing there with the feet of brass, the eyes, the flame of fire running to and fro. and then Daniel saw him 700 years before in the same position, the same kind, same man, but not the same time. But that's not the white throne. That's a prelude to it. All right. Now we're going to read. Well, I think I better just read two paragraphs here, and then we'll go to the scripture again. That's right. He's the judge, the supreme judge, and John shows he wasn't in the day of his prophecy as a prophet, neither plumb out in the days of his kingship, but he was in the day of the Lord as a judge. And with it, I want to read over here. All right, the Son of Righteousness, with healing his wings. Now his countenance, he was a judge. Or another thing to show he was over in the Lord's day. You believe that? He went over the Lord's day and saw the Lord as judge, not as priest, not as king, but as a judge. He is a judge. Don't you believe that? The Bible says he's a judge. All dressed up as judge, showing what he'd done, what he was, and what he was to the sinner, and what he was to the Christian. Now you could put that any place you want at the great white throne and all. But I'm going to tell you something. The Christian knows that ahead of time. See, the Christian knows those things. All right. We're going to read Acts 17, 22 to 32. Then Paul stood in the middle of Mars Hill, said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription." Now notice he said, he called the attention to religion. Here is dear old Abel talking to Cain. Watch out, brother. Because there's going to be a hot time in the old temple tonight. Because he's treading on the spiritual toes of their religion. All right. You're superstitious. You got an inscription to the unknown God. All right. You worship him ignorantly. I will declare him or tell you all about him.
Because he said, you really haven't got a God. You got a God of your mind. You're smart. What in the world? The Greeks seek after wisdom, and then they do this? Smarts is smarts, but they ain't got too much. God takes every smart thing and just shows how stupid it is. Oh, brother. God that made the world and all things are in seeing is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth in not in temples made in half hands of worship of men's hands, as though they needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, determined the times of before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our beings, as certain also your poet said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In other words, if God ever manifested himself into an image, he would have to take the image of a man. That's what he did. Purifier is not an image. Moving, moving, moving. Clouds aren't an image. Moving, moving, moving. Rock is not an image. It shows stability. It doesn't move, but it shows stability. But God's not much likened to a rock. That's just stability. But you talk about a cloud, the moving, the wheels within the wheels. The flame of fire moving, turning, moving. And that's what this word of God's doing. It's just moving constantly before us. Look, if we ever gave ourselves over this word, if you deacons ever get together and plan your little meetings where you get together and talk about the Lord, this word's going to start moving and moving in your lives. It's going to do something for you. It's not going to do it, you just coming to church here. It's not going to do it, you just sitting here and me preach. You've got to enter in. And of course, when I get tough on you, I kind of scare you. You don't do so good. I don't get the report. So it's just, you know. Take the clamps off now. We're getting mad. I wasn't mad at you anyway. It's just a little bit sore, a few conditions. It burned me to a crisp at times. My God, I don't understand people's ignorance. Well, get away. Look at it. He said, look, your people, you call yourself an offspring of God? Don't children look like your parents? Don't they have the same color hair and the same color eyes right now? Look, he said, God has related himself to man. I'm going to tell you about him. Tell you what he did, how he did it. Now he said, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, verse 30, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to change their mind. Now everybody wants to think repentance is a sorrowful thing that you go through. People in this message no more believe this message than nothing, are no more part of it than nothing. They can't be. And comes the time, the big shots write books, and always it's against predestination. And they just love to hit it because they think I wrote that book without Brother Brown's permission, or he didn't read or something else. And on predestination, I phoned him at my expense and talked for 45 minutes, and I read it. He said, I agree, Brother Bill. I said, hold it, Brother Branham, hold it. I want to know that you really know what I'm saying. I'll explain every single word. And in 45 minutes, at my money, I explained it word by word. Well, he said, that's exactly right. And here's some more scripture to back it up. Repent. Mind. One message to this church. Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind. And the prophet said, I'll never think the same again. Fooey about thinking, Brother Branham. Let's get them gifts rolling. Hogwash. Let's have a super character and super fruit. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus looked pretty bad against the kind old priest. You know, I'm going to change the Bible to make somebody feel good. And when they persecute you in this city, do not flee, but go to the people and say, here I am, kill me. Here I am, step on me. How many of you got that complex today? Oh, I'll close my eyes while you raise your hands. Come on, I've nailed you, and you know it. You've got something in your heart that says, oh, I better not run if they persecute me. I better stand there and stand up and stand there. I think you've got something wrong with you. I can tell you right to your faces because I got the same stupid thing. Yeah. Oh, no, we can never even use the law. Paul appealed to Caesar. When those guys made a vow and shaved their heads and said, hey, we won't eat until we get Paul. Why did he say, boys, I tell you, I hate to see you go hungry. Here I am, come and get me. Come on. Pentecostal hogwash. When they persecute you, flee. And we ought to just revise the Bible and go home and have a ball. Who needs God? Who needs anything? Repent. Change your mind. You say that won't do it. I say it will do it. See, so simple goes everybody's heads. The knowledge that you get under the revelation of a prophet constantly brought to your attention, revealing Christ, will have an effect upon you, and that effect is immortality. Okay. Repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of that, of the resurrection of the dead, they mocked. Now listen, the resurrection and judgment are put right together. If there had not been a resurrection, there could be no judgment. I am risen. All judgment committed unto him in the resurrection. Resurrection and judge go hand in hand. So when he is revealed as judge, the resurrection is imminent.
Amen.
He has gone from prophet to judge. Pardon, I'll retract that. He is going from prophet to judge. And going from priest to judge. And I might as well say it, the one role of priest is always a man. But God Elohim has always been the judge. And so therefore a man to be a judge has to have something conferred upon him, for in himself he is not judge. But in that God raised him, he will be judge. So therefore there is a transition going on. The transition of Almighty God in a man. Which office is in God? Don't let it blow your minds. Don't let it blow your minds. Nothing to it. God always was judge, but a prophet's judge. How's he judge? By the word of God. The office. Delegated. John 5:18-30. Therefore the Jews sought to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but said God was his father, making himself equal to God. Now there's something that explains something. The firstborn. Listen. The firstborn is equal with daddy. Because he can say, Father, one half is already mine. Give it to me now. And Papa has got to give the boy one half. Then if God is judge, the son has got to be judge. If God is Redeemer, the Son will have to be Redeemer. If God is King, the Son will have to be King.
Amen.
Begin to see light now? Prophet, priest, king, prophet, judge, king. One is God the Father, and one is not God the Son. It is simply the Son. One is God the Holy Spirit. One is the Son of God. Who is the Son of Man? All right. John 5:18. We're reading 19. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that doeth also the Son. I just told you that. Do you think that ever changes? Now, if the Son sees the Father turning judge, then the Son is turning judge. If the Father is claiming his, the Son is claiming. No problem. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things himself doeth, and he will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel. Hey, I like that. Everything that God is going to do, he's going to do it to tickle my spiritual sensibility. Huh? You didn't know that about God, did you? He's just trying to whoop you around. He's trying to make you so happy you just can't contain yourself, even when persecution comes. This is good for me. You just lift up your head and you say, hallelujah, what marvelous things coming. Hell yeah. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. They do the same thing. He's co-equal. For the Father judges no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. Now he's a judge. What's he talking about? You're getting into condemnation now, so you got to watch that one. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, sin. And verily, verily, I say, he that heareth my words and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but pass into life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now, as the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so is he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Whose voice? Spirit. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Okay. Now watch. What if God told the prophet to say, little bride, you didn't do it? What about? Where are you? Oh, no. Whoopsie, that's a little better. A little fresh air. Me, if not for you, I need that. Open the door outside. The flies won't get in there all dead. I hope so. Listen. He said, I can know myself as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father sent me. All right, then, how can he judge? Now listen, how can he judge the bride past what the Father tells him to say on the basis of what the Father told him to do? Wouldn't that be nice if the Father said, Son, give your life for these men. I'm with you to fortify you, you know. And he says, that's fine. After he gives his life and the blood is supposed to be there to perfect the bride, the Father now says, Son, I think I ought to change my mind. Wouldn't that be something? No? He heard the Father. He saw what the Father wanted. He did it. And for what purpose? For this very thing we're talking about. Because the proof of the pudding is always in the eating. The proof of anything is always according to a standard. Right? We're here. Judge.
Amen.
So there it is. Judge and judgment. What in the world do you want to judge for if there's no judgment? Do you know something? They tell me they got a commission here in the States. I don't know how Proxmire hasn't got rid of it yet. I think I'm going to lose faith in his Golden Fleece Awards or something. It's a tea-tasting commission. We know the good old Lyme, don't you know, in the 13 colonies Grand Key. The Swedes hadn't come with the coffee. So they had a commission for years in America, so I'm told. That gets many thousands of dollars for sitting there and doing nothing because there's no tea to taste, I guess. Then if there's no tea, You don't need tea tasters. Now, who needs a judge if there's no judgment? There's no judge, there couldn't be a judgment. Now, there's both a judge and a judgment. Now, he didn't say, here, now, look here. This goes without saying concerning a bride. This goes without saying. It says, no, Sheree. Everybody comes under the judge and a judgment. And he's in the midst of the bride. Open the door. Come in, light. Oh, I don't think I want that light. That's judging light. Out. Every prophet fizzles. I like that expression. I coined it. I think God gave me. I'm proud of it. Because it's the truth. Every prophet fizzles. Every ministry fizzles. The word of the Lord endures forever. All right. So there it is, judge and judgment. When? The day of the Lord. Acts 17:31. We read it. Make no bones about it. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. That's the inhabited world. The people. By that man that he ordained and gave assurance unto all men and that he raised him from the dead. He will judge the inhabit of the world now, and 1,000 years later he'll bring them all back to inhabit the earth, and he'll do it again. He'll judge the inhabitants. You better believe it. Oh yeah, we got this scripture right down pat. There's nobody can argue that. Matthew 10, verse 15. Truly, truly, I say it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What city? The city that turns down the salute. See? Now, shake the dust off your feet. Get out of there. Okay, Revelation 19:11. Brother Branham used the same scripture. Here's the judge. Saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he sat upon him, called Faithful and True. In righteousness, he doth judge and make war. That's your judge. The standard, faithful and true. Word. His eyes a flame of fire. Head got many crowns. He, the bride, has crowned him. He had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. Was clothed in the vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies follow him. And it says he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God. His vesture, there's a name, the thigh, hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now those are designations. See? That's the incarnate one. That's the one who is here, incarnated. And he who is here has gone from prophet to judge. Now he's king. Judge. Prophet judge, king judge. It's a catalyst. It's a carrier. A transition. And he who was prophet is high priest, judge, king. See? Now they're at one. Before Abraham was, I am. Who said that? The Father in him said it. The body wasn't. Come on, the body was born of Mary. A little tiny baby. Born over a manure heap. So God could take the beggar and make a prince out of him. He had to smell like the stable. Like Brother Brown said, a birth is a very messy thing. Well, people want to be so nice like Cain and offer a fruit. That's evil. See, evil, evil, evil. Evil lies in any way you take that word anyway, and then it'll bring forth an action. And anything in the realm of the spirit that is a perversion is death. And it always causes a war. And it always causes those that pervert the war to try to kill and get rid of those who have the pure word of God. It'll always be that way, see? Now, judgment and judge. When? The day of the Lord. When? At the time of the resurrection, both first and second. Go back to John 5. Now, we've been hitting this all the time, but now we're hitting it with the Scripture. Just nailing it down by Scripture. 5:25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All right, that's the first resurrection. 28. Marvel not this, the hour is coming, and all that shall earn the grace hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that done good in the resurrection life, and they that done evil in the resurrection damnation. That's the second resurrection. I am myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just like his works. He said, I can't set the day of the resurrection. It's already set. He said, it's as good as done. Don't anybody kid you? That word has a time and a season for all men and all occasions. Oh, yes. Now, that's what people stumble at. They can't understand how God has a word for this age and a word for that age and the other for that age. They simply can't understand. Nobody but us can understand that. I've never run across anybody. That's one of the hardest things I learned in this whole message. I could adjust my theology almost anywhere because lots of fun doing it. I enjoy adjusting my theology if I can find something that's more right and more happy, inclined to my inclinations. And the further out, the better. Took me a while to get serpent seed, but now I think that's tremendous. I always was taken up by the fact there's no eternal hell, because there couldn't be two eternal lives just nowhere, and God wasn't going to put himself in hell. Forget that. He put himself in somebody to get us out of hell. No, he's not going to put himself in us to burn in hell. That's all the stupid things I ever heard in my life. Amen. Look, I'm not very smart, but look, neither am I completely gone. No way. See, now everything is in the time and the purpose of God. Of him and to him and for him and by him. That's right in here. Judgments. Everything lined up perfect. Now, we looked in the second resurrection. Getting over here. Well, this might still be the first. Revelation 19. Yep. This is at the time of the first. Verse 20. The beast was taken, the false prophet wrought miracles. And they that were deceived received the mark of the beast. And them that worshipped him, both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword that sat upon the horse. And the sword proceeded out of his mouth. Now they were taken alive, but the rest weren't. They were killed. And their bodies were eaten up. Now, 20. Revelation 4-15. Now that after 1,000 years, I saw thrones and they that sat upon judgments given. I saw the souls never beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, that had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in the foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the first resurrection. The rest of the dead are not again 1,000 years of finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy yet part of the first resurrection, and such a second death had no power. That's after 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years they reigned as kings and priests with Christ. Now when 1,000 years were over, Satan is loosed from his prison, and he go out to deceive the whole world. And they come up against the beloved city. Fire comes down out of heaven. Verse 10, the devil deceived was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. The beast and the false prophet are, and tormented day and night. And I saw a great white throne. And there it is. See? The small and dead, verse 12, stand before the books open. Another book is open, to the book of life. The dead judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. The sea of the dead is in, death and hell of the dead. They were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. In other words, the book of the Lamb's book of life was already taken care of. The book of life is next. That's taken care of. There's no record of the serpent's seed out. Their names were already blotted out. They were there, but they're gone. All right. Thus we see, number one, the prophet turned judge. Number two, the priest turned judge. Three, the judge turned king. That's right. That's it. Just that simple. You haven't got 15 gods, you've got one God. You look at, how many organs have you got? Vital organs. How many? What, 5 vital organs? I don't remember anymore. It might be a dozen vital organs as far as I'm concerned. My ears are vital organs. At least I think they show signs of life. I'm still hearing. My tongue is a vital organ. How vital? Well, I'm not going to talk about that. Because that can be an instrument of death. At this point, it's just kind of sharp and mean. You know, I wouldn't lie about it. That'd be awful to stand in the pulpit and deliberately lie about my tongue. But I love lungs are vital organs. Everything is vital as far as I'm getting. You've got life's vital organ. Well, look at it. It's all an integrated part, but my heart is not my liver. My liver is not my lungs. Lungs are not kidneys. But they all function in a certain way. Now, I admit there's no such thing as a period of heart and a period of lungs and a period of this. But we did see the same thing in a young man or a young woman. Young man, he's a boy. He's a son. Grows up to become a husband. Becomes a father. Becomes a grandfather. Great-grandfather, you name it. The same person could be a lawyer. The same person could be a doctor. The same person could be a mathematician. But it's all the one person in offices. See? Now, God brought forth an only begotten son. God can't be born. At the River Jordan, God came into him, making him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I and my Father are one. In the garden, the Father left him. And upon Calvary, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, how's anybody going to hang upon the cross and God's in him? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, you say, well, it couldn't mean this, that God just stopped doing certain things. Well, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. No way. Now, God cannot be born and God cannot die.
Amen. That's right.
See, God cannot be his own son. There is no such thing. What it was are that which accrues to God by reason of that which was in him. He was to be Father, so he became Father. In him was to be son, so he manifested through sonship. In him is to be the Prince of David, this and that and the other thing, the mighty God, all those things. So he manifests him. Now, when God left him, he did not forsake him completely. He said, you cannot leave my soul in hell. You cannot make that body corrupt. So God took the man out of upper Sheol, led the people with him, put the life back in the body. The body walked out of the tomb. Bodies enfolded those theophanies that came forth. Now, God raised the body. Now listen, let's get this flat. If that one, William Branham, was a prophet of God, and he had to be a prophet of something out there, because a man's word will never do what William Branham did, or let's get together and do something. Let's build our tower to Babel and get up to heaven. Huh? You betcha. You'll never fool with the prophet of God. Now, and he, being a prophet of God, would have slandered God when he said, raise the body, if that was God. Because I can find a nicer expression than saying God raised the body as a memorial to the resurrection. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That prophet had to say those words to jar people to reality that Jesus only is a false doctrine.
Amen.
You follow me saying? Now, look, I don't even like the term. I'm a nicer man than Brother Branham. You think so? Hogwash. If nice is nice, well, I could be 3 foot underground alongside just about anybody. I got to admit that. I ain't up there at the branches. If I wasn't the branches, I'd just be a nut. Understand what I'm talking about. Look, he said, raise that body. That's all he called it. Raise the body and put it on the mercy. I want to tell you something. That's an intelligent person that's on that mercy seat.
Amen. Amen.
That's a man that's on the mercy seat. Now, in the meantime, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, he names all the titles and lets you know he's talking about that one in Hebrews 13 and 8, that one in Genesis 18, chapter 18, that one in Genesis 1, and he said a spirit of God is not a spirit coming out of God, it is God himself. That one comes down here, sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead, prophet, judge, king. The other one was prophet, not anymore, is priest, until now he's turning judge and king because he stepped on the throne when he ripped the seals off.
Amen.
Now, when that one leaves us that's here, you follow me, is going to incarnate himself in that one that steps down. And God steps into him. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Emmanuel, he's the lily of the valley, the rose and cherub, the altogether lovely. And he is judge king. Now you say, why are you belaboring this? I have a lot of fun doing it. Spiritual reality. energizes me. It's the wine of stimulation. And except for repetition, you will not get what I'm saying. It must be repeated until it becomes real, because we're going to talk of him as judge in the bride and then judge out there. And if you do not see what I am saying and understand absolutely this, you will not be saying the right thing to God, and he will not come back on it. Because God will not answer back to any word but his. You've got to say the right thing concerning Godhead. The prophet said so. You don't make games with this. It's not a rabbit's foot. Just because, as I told you, we got the statement concerning Hattie Mosher. Now, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. And according to Fred Barker, yet to say the right thing, it becomes a rabbit's foot. It is not a rabbit's foot. Immortality doesn't come that way. You've got to give back to God concerning Godhead, concerning this word. And it's got to be one with God, or it doesn't come back. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so we're careful to understand and bring this to the place of our understanding. Now, notice a valuable key in John 5, 22 and 27. And again, we're here all day long. That's right. Got lots of sandwiches upstairs. We'll feed you real good to bring you back to pound you some more. Nothing like fatted turkeys and geese and goody-goodies or doves. Well, I won't just put you in the dove class. You can put me in the mean class up here, and I'll put you in the dove class. All right, 5 and 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's why you see right there, in a glorified figure. It has to do with Son. You see? Now let's watch a second. I go a little further. The 27th verse. And hath given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son. Hold it. What Son? A man. Now, you know that there is a key there. And that key, of course, is the fact that as Son of Man, he raised the dead. Fast. To prove that he could bring them out of the grave, which was God who brought them out. And as Son of Man again, there'll be another resurrection. And Son of Man is prophet, and resurrection means prophet and judge. Because you've got to know who to bring out. As one person said, if Jesus had not named Lazarus by name, they all would have come tumbling out. All right. So see where this leads. Number one. Son of Man, constituting a ministry and making him the prophet. I'll read again. The Son of Man. Number one, the Son of Man. This term constitutes a ministry, making him the prophet. Number two, Son of Man. That is the seed of the woman, the Redeemer. Number three, Son of Man makes him the second Adam. And the last man, which is the new creation in the millennium, which is by glorification. Number four, Son of Man, Emmanuel and kinsman. God has identified himself as part of his own creation. See? Now, so the judge in Revelation 1 is seen as a man to whom all judgment is now committed. And that commission is, as we said, because he is one, the prophet. That is, the prophet brings the knowledge of God. Nobody else can bring a knowledge of God. There is nobody else. I don't care. Paul sets it straight. He said, if you think yourself a prophet, or you think you're born again, you will admit right now that nobody but nobody gets the knowledge of God except by a prophet. That's why this book is so important. And that's why God can wink at ignorance. Under certain conditions, when a prophet comes, the winking is over. Amen. There's no more winking. See? Now, listen. No, number two. He is one of us. Now, he is one of us in order that he may apply his wisdom and knowledge in the perfection of which it must go, which is amongst people. Now look it. What right would God have to judge us? If there's no way we could ever come near a standard. If there's nothing truly related to us. So God doesn't put anything out there that can't be met. That's where your moral agency comes in on it, see? Now listen, from a prophet, one to whom the word comes, and the same one who gives the word to others. He is letter perfect, for he knows God's side exactly. God was in the prophets in many ways, many parts. The word came forth in many times to the fathers. 2 Peter 1:21 tells you they were windswept. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. As the prophet said, thy word was altogether in my tongue. You have put my, and God said, I'll put my words in your mouth. All right. So, be as a man. Let's look as a man over here. Now, because they run together, you can't change this. Hebrews, the second chapter, 16 to 18. Truly he took not himself of the nature of angels, he took on himself the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered tempting, being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Now that's what a judge is all about as well as a priest. The judge is there to get conditions right. Any judge that merely condemns isn't worth his salt. The judgments of God are not there to condemn people. The judgments are there to keep things in order. They're there to help. Even Sinai exposed so that man would understand his own sin and come to God for relief. That man would throw his hands up and say, it can't be done, then God will do it. You see? Now, he brought that letter word that perfect from God. But he also is a man because he's got to deal with men. So therefore, there's no such thing as a hard-nosed case from either side. The judge is to bring things together. It's like a mediator. A mediator is a judge. But when you get down to the end of the time, when the mediator is finished doing the work of a judge as mediator, then it's time that the ends of the string have got to be exposed and it's over. Now, what has followed bears a consequence. So you see him as high priest all these years, and the Holy Spirit coming to us and helping us. He's the high priest helping us in spirit form. There's the high priest sitting as a propitiation. They're one and the same. Then at the end of the time, they both got to come together to be judged. You see what I'm saying? There's always this in between. You can't make God just a judge. You got to make him a mediator, a helper. And you got to bring the two together. But at the end of the season, there's a separation. Then the judgments of the judge stand on one side and on the other side. Sheep from goats. Bride from church. You bet. You see what I'm saying now? Okay, good. Now, this makes him a perfect mediator between God and man, and thus the priest and then the judge. Remember the priest first, then the judge. Remember the judge is always the interpreter of the word. And then from that, he balances out and makes decisions which are allowed only by the word and can only come from the word. That's what Jesus said. He showed you he was a judge. He said, I don't say a thing but what I heard. Don't do a thing but what I see. I and my Father are one. See? You follow what I'm saying now? All right. The word has always contained the decision. The judge is necessary to sit only at such a time as a decision must be made to end the problem and give satisfaction to the parties involved. You don't have a judge any other time. You're sitting there working things out. Now notice I said the word set. Let's go to Revelation
1 and 13. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothing the garment down to the foot, girt about the paps of golden girdle. Now, he's not sitting down, he's standing up. But he's judged. See? The judgment isn't set. See, judgment constitutes authority. So he's in between. Let's find out where he's in between. Thought I heard somebody ask that. I'd like to answer your questions. Ninth chapter of Acts. Beg your pardon, seventh chapter of Acts. Verse 54 to 60. When they heard these things, this is Stephen. They were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He wasn't sitting on the mercy seat. He was standing. Indicative of the end hour. See? He's standing. And what I'm showing you standing concerning a judge is still mercy. There's mercy. Now, they stopped ears and ran at him with one accord. Now go to Acts 9. Now this is that one standing. And yet he's on the mercy seat, so to speak. He is on the mercy, but notice he's standing there. Suddenly a light shone round about Paul. Fell to the earth, the voice said, Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me? And he said, how are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus that you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembling said, and astonished, Lord, what do you have me do? Rise and go into the city and tell you what to do. Now notice in there, the one standing, and he's standing in the midst. He's got all authority, but he doesn't do anything about it. Because in the bride, he stands there in mercy. And his judgment is still according to the word. That's why I can see people being brought into Christ even now. See? Because the one that was on the mercy seat rose to take the book. And he climbed on the throne, indicating the transition period was in effect. But he's not come into it. See? And he can't be plumb into it until the 144,000 are in. Now this is the important thing I'm trying to establish in your minds. You can't get a chronology that's watertight. One, two separate from one, three separate from two, four, and four separate from three. It don't work just like the seals. One, two, three, four, chronological. Under four is number five. Under four is number six. And under four is number seven. And five can be even under number three. As well as four. You can't establish chronology. These are in visions. Revealing the sevenfold glory of the Lord. And one of the glories was judged. But the same judge was the Lamb. The same Lamb, the prophet. All through the ages, these threads have been going in this man. But there comes time. As a boy is born, a little son goes to maturity, gets married, becomes a father. Same one. All the way down the road. But there comes a time when a superior, necessary quality is manifested. And that doesn't obviate the other qualities for one minute. Any man that thinks because he got married and got a wife, he's no longer a son, is a little bit kooky. Now, if he's something of a mama's boy, he's kookier still. All right. Here's some examples of judgment. Let's take a look at them. We go to, Revelation, the 17th chapter. 1 and 2. There came out of the seven angels a messenger to have seven vials
talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the many waters, with whom the kings of earth have committed fornication, and the earth have been made drunk with the wine of fornication. Now, he saw what was required of God in the end time concerning this condition. Now notice, it's already written. All it needs is the hour to be spoken. That's what a judge is all about. You get a judge, pick up a book, and say, well, there's nothing in here about this situation. I'll make up my own. You better believe that's not the Bible. You better believe it has nothing to do with God. That's the church. That's where Brother Brown took us right back to the beginnings. And that's why I see the extreme importance of learning to go back to the beginning. This is, like I said, this is the message you've heard in the beginning. That you have love one for another. Right away, everybody said, oh, that's about Jesus' day. Look at this great love. Look how they love. Look at this. Shut up and listen. Not as Cain. He took you back to the beginning. And now don't talk about love. Don't talk about anything. Until you go to the beginning. Or you'll be a bunch of idiots. You won't care 2 bits for the word. As long as you're sweet and you're nice and you're gushy and oh boy, drop dead. Don't come around me. Get out. I'll preach for 2,000 more years that Eve was not raped. She was seduced. You know, well, this brother be able to think she was raped. You gotta be kidding. She went off the word. My brother, my sister, Cain was off the word. And he was off the word. It didn't matter that the murder was not the evil deed. The murder was not the evil deed. The slaying was not the evil deed. The evil deed was going before God in the face of the vindicated revelation.
Right.
And he killed his brother. You watch when the pressure comes on us. Brother Branson will be hunting like wild dogs. I want to get out of here. Lord, I'm a sheep. Don't even talk to people about wild dogs. Get me out of here. You think the gates of hell aren't going to come upon you? It's already back in line. I'm preaching false doctrine. And the beautiful part is the preacher there is preaching the same thing. Good old Jeff. Love that kid. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going all around the country now. False doctrine. And they think they know the prophet. They know the prophet I know. I'll tell you that. 18th chapter and 5th verse. Revelation, I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, that you be not judged. That you don't receive her plagues. You get another judgment. Getting out, just get out of her. Just getting out of the harlot. But how do you do it? In the head. Repent. Your thinking's got to change. Oh, yeah. Revelation 11 and 18. I didn't get that reversed. I don't suppose I did. 11:18. And the nations are angry. Thy wrath has come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. And notice this. And that thou shalt give reward to thy servants the prophets. And to the saints and them that fear thy name both great and small. And destroy them that destroy the earth. That's what Brother Branham behind the curtain of time. You can't go to him. He'll come to you and judge you according to what you taught. And they said, we're resting on this. Many shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, and not cast out devils. Thy name prophesied thy name on great works. And in thy name, Lord, we show such love and we did such wonderful things and we laid down our necks and we did see. Say, ah, shut up and get out of here. That follows in the 15th chapter, 7th chapter of Matthew. Beware of false prophets. They come to your sheep clothing and they're ravening wolves. They've got every earmark. Until it comes to the word. Then watch. Oh, I'll spare some feelings. Not yours. None to do with you as the people here, but it has to do with other people. So I'll let that out another time, on another occasion. I've told you I'd be nice to you. How long? Don't ask me how long. Now look, just count your lucky stars. All right. Revelation 14, 15, another angel came out of the temple crying a loud voice, and to him that sat upon the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Notice, harvest time, judging time, death, resurrection, the judgments of God. Okay, now with that we go to Daniel. We're talking about examples now of the judgment. Now what I'm doing, I am relating you the consequence of the performance of God's word, which is relative to our hour and something's happening to us. We're in process. See, let me tell you again. All the time looking back. All the time looking forward. Never knowing what's going on. I do know what's going on.
Amen.
Because I'm not in darkness anymore. The light has come.
Amen.
It's risen upon me. You say, Brother Vail, you boast. I don't. I bear testimony to my Christ and my God.
Amen.
If you want me to say something else, you just hold your breath. Which you wouldn't dare anyway, because it wouldn't do you any good. You know me too well, and I think I know you pretty well, too. We're in this together. All right. Let's read. 7th chapter, Daniel 8th verse. I consider the horns. Now he's looking, and behold, took my time looking. There came among another little horn before whom the three horns, before whom three were, there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Now that's three kingdoms went down the drain. And behold, this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now this fellow, he's got the Antichrist head him. This is Rome. Now he said, I beheld. Now it doesn't mean this took place instantly. He said, I saw where the thing went. Where did this bunch go to? Right to the second resurrection, the white throne judgment. That was it. Why? The only place they can go. They missed it. Well, they're not in the millennium. Are they? No. The beast and the false prophet thrown the lake of fire, right? All the rest killed, right? So he beheld, and the next scene, after blotto, white throne. We don't go blotto. We go to the millennium.
Amen.
You follow the chronology. Now notice, I beheld then because the words of the great horn, the words the horn spoke, I beheld till the beast was slain. Now that's not lake of fire. That's Revelations 19 into 20 chapter. Body destroyed, given the burning flame. The rest of the beast had dominion and taken away, their lives prolonged for season of time. I saw in the night vision, beheld one like the Son of Man come upon clouds of heaven, came to ancient days, and brought him near. Now this is the one in clouds of heaven is the one, is our Lord Jesus Christ coming back according to Scripture. And there was given him dominion, glory, and kingdom in all these nations. We're not going to pass away. That's us. Why? Those that tried to wear out the saints of the Most High God, blotto, Antichrist, false prophet, into the pit. Up to the second resurrection. Saints of God that can't be wore out. Resurrection. Millennium. 1,000-year priests unto God. Kings unto Him. Glory to God. Judging at the white throne. You see judgment? Now, because He is the Son of Man. Came right down here and identified. Became one of us. Got every right to judge us. Got every right. And he'll say the same thing as the Father. The Word of God comes and a man says, well, hey, what about this? Never mind what about that. Listen to the Word of God, because the Son will come right behind and say, yes, sir, I stood there as a man. You've got judges today. Those judges let everybody off because their own kids might get in trouble and they might get caught taking money. You haven't got a righteous judge in the land. I'll eat my shirt. First of all, he can't be righteous because he really doesn't know what the law says. Then he himself is not the Word, but he's supposed to be the Word. One can. That's that one. He's identified with us. And I'm going to tell you, he'll judge the world by righteousness, one Christ Jesus, who is the Word. Yes, sir, there'll be no hiding in those days.
Amen.
It was proven by the fact the judge is here now because the prophet stood there. And God was in the prophet. William Branham, like he's in every prophet. And he read the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, and he took every spirit under control. That's judgment. And there wasn't one could hide. That's judgment. And there wasn't one time he gave condemnation. It was help, help, help.
Amen.
In the bride. See, hear what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. 20th. Revelation 20. I think we read it. 12 to 15. No. I saw the dead small and great. That's the white throne. The books open. Another book open. The book of life. The dead judge those things written in the books. According to their works. The sea give up the dead, hell and death and everything else. And hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever's not found the, written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. All right. Now where does that come from? Matthew 25. Okay. Beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall all be gathered all nations and separate them one from another. That's not the time he comes in Revelation 19. He wipes them out. This is the second resurrection. That's exactly what it said in Daniel. He looked down the road and he saw the whole thing. And he saw the wickedness explode, go whomp, blotto. Then come right back. His brother Branham said, sin reappears at the end of the millennium as sin was carried over in the ark. Sin reappears? That's where they reappear. What about the Christian? No. He approaches the ancient days. The Holy Spirit going up to incarnate himself. Him coming down to meet us. He becomes incarnated. Presents to himself a bride. Wedding supper. 3.5 years in glory. Coming back with the strength of the wine of the fury of God. Eyeballing the devil incarnated. Coming down here in the strength of God. Getting justice back upon a world that knew not him. And taking over 1,000 years. Then comes judgment again. See? No longer prophet. No longer priest. No way, shape, and form. Now the judge king. And after judgment what? King. Yeah. The constant revelation of his beauties and glories. Now he said, here, depart from me. Do this, do that. See, the book's open. Everything judged out of it. Everything just exactly right. Now, listen. In this case here, as in Revelation, we are introduced to books. Now we got something to do with books. Now, that's the authority of the word. All right. With books in mind, we have to look at our subject again. Judge, Son of Man, resurrection. Okay, let's go to Luke 6. I'm sorry, Luke 4. 16 and 20. I hope I'm not boring you. I've got to go over and over this until this thing settles in your mind 100% and you just know where you sit and that's it and you just go on. You know what it's all about. Because you don't give it back to God, he's not going to give it back to you. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing flat. Let's get this. The teacher is the judge. Amen. And the judge and the teacher comes up at the time of the examination. Now, you pass the paper in. And the paper's not right. Now, a lot of teachers don't even give a rip. They just put it on sale, I'll throw it in the junk heap. Who cares? Kid did something. Kept the kid busy. But a conscientious teacher will go over that paper and see if that kid made a mistake. Now, the teacher said, now, you correct that. That's judging. According to the book. Now, if the paper is not acceptable, it's got to go back and get a correction. That's why Brother Branham came as a prophet, to get the bride back to where she should be. And she had to come back to the specifications of the book. The right Jesus, the right Spirit, the right Word. Show me where that's your character. Show me where that's your fruit. Show me where that lies in the gift. Show me where that's nearness to God or obedience or anything else. It's revelation. Amen. It's a girl believing the boy, and the boy ain't one lousy, loud-mouth seducer. We got them cotton picker jerks around here. Better look out for them. Yeah. Enough said on this subject for 5 minutes. Back to later. 16, verse 16, he came to synagogue. The synagogue in Nazareth. got up to read. Notice he stood up to read. Stood up. That means I'm going to tell you something. He's still the prophet. When he sits down, whatever he said swings into action. See, the judge has already been in the books. Right. He's been back in his chambers. Now he comes out. Here comes the judge.
Yep.
Everybody stand. Oh, for these judges, forget it, but it's prodigal. So you do. But when he stands, it's a different story. But when he sits, that's a whole lot different again. That's when it's too late. That's when there's no more plea bargaining. That's when what the book says is it. Yeah, follow me? Okay. He stood up. And he read out of the books, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. That's to make confrontation. Sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, set everything under bruise, to preach after the year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he sat down. Alright, from now on, that book's in force. From now on, what was read there is an absolute force as a prophet now sitting as that judge. From now on, everything is going to tally up with that. There's nothing can be done about it. Okay, the main thing is the books. We go back to Revelation, the 5th chapter. We read in there. Saw in the hand of the right hand and sat upon the throne a book written, sealed on with 7 seals, both in the back on the backside. Nothing could be written inside, nothing outside. Who can open the book? No one found worthy. Began to weep. The messenger said, don't weep. The angel lying, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals. Now beheld on the midst of the throne, the 4 beasts, midst of the elders of the lambs that have been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, there are 7 spirits that God sent forth in all the earth. He came and took the book of the right hand and sat upon the throne. All right, now that's, there you see right there, judgment is about to set. Because he stood up to inaugurate another period. Right. The same one that tore the seals up sat down again to see that that was enforced. Judgment. You follow? Okay, what's going on right now? The judge. See, right hand signifies power. Okay? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The mighty angel came down, clothed a rainbow. That's the one that got the book back. That's the one on the throne as a pillar of fire. And that's the same one that Brother Branham said is Revelation 1, 12 to 18. Same one. Hadn't handed the book open. Remember, the Lamb handed it back. The one on the throne came down. Now, what's he when he comes down? He's standing up. A prophet to deliver. You let him leave here, brother, sister. It's all over. You see, thank God he's here. That's where people are all mixed up on blood off the mercy seat, this, that, and the other thing. Just as long as he is here, as long as the dead haven't risen, he'll just be mighty, mighty happy. He's here. Tell everybody about it. See? Now at this time, the thunders are on earth, and at this time, time runs out. And every mystery is finished. Christ, the mystery of God. All right. Christ, the mystery of God. Revelation, preeminence, back to Eden. All right, we're under revelation. And preeminence. Why? Because the judge is preeminent. Put him right with the king. You're not talking just about a prophet now. Because the prophet is right down here, and any time there's a man, and that 7th church messenger is a prophet, and any time there's a prophet, that pillar of fire comes down, you've got the prophet, God himself, you've got the prophet here, you've got the word itself, and you've got the reflector or the voice of the word. And you've got the prophet saying, I myself judge nothing, but the judge is here and I'm watching him. Resurrection time. Things have run out. Every mystery. And one of the mysteries is, I show you mystery, we shall not all sleep.
Amen.
And that's what people simply can't understand. They simply can't understand that the blood is there and the Holy Ghost baptism is there, but that does not do it per se. It takes Him revealed. And the exceeding greatness of power that raised Christ from the dead comes from Him to raise those dead, to bring them forth as He brought forth Jesus Christ and bring us forth. You see? All was noticed. Notice the books are there. Notice what is happening. The resurrection is there. Revelation 22. Ten to 14. Seal not the saints' prophecy of this book. Okay, there's a book there. Where the time is at hand. He is unjust, unjust, and so on and so on. That goes down to what verses did I want there? Just to 14. My reward is with me. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Now I'm Alpha and Omega, being the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that wash their robes. They may have the right to the tree of life, enter the holy city. All right. Now, verse 13. I'm Alpha and Omega, the being the end, the first and last. That's Revelation 1 and 17. He laid his hand upon me saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now over here, he said, I am the first and the last, beginning and the end. He does not say, I am he which was dead and am alive. Over here, he tells you simply, I am Alpha and Omega. In other words, the same one that says over here, in the verse 8 of the first chapter, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, is the same God who is giving that revelation of the one, Jesus Christ, who is God incarnated. Over here, you know it's the Holy Spirit. It's not the incarnated one. It is the incarnated one in this sense. It is the one who got in a man's flesh, but the flesh isn't there. Why? Because that's the one in Revelation 10 and 1 that came down. That's the revelation, the one in Revelation 5 and 1 that had the book, gave it to the Lamb, ripped the seals out, put it back in his hand, came on down here, came down on earth, and the thunders are on earth. And when they're opened on earth, it's all over. Every mystery, every secret. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's a secret. And it takes a prophet to bring in the secret. Now, what's the hour in which you live? This is Yah of Sodom repeated. This is Yah of Gomorrah. This is Yah of Elohim visiting Abraham. This is the time for the sun to come back to the earth. This is the time when the sun is to be formed in the woman to bring him back to earth. He said to Abraham, I'm coming again. Now I ask you a question. When did he come again? There's not even a record of it. Nobody knows when he's going to split the heavens. And nobody really cares if you're a bride. Because you see, what does it matter? Because you see, you're bride. And you've got confidence in him. What if he comes in the morning? Wonderful, I'll be there waiting for him. What if he comes in the morning? What's the difference? Just as long as he's coming, I'm just ready for him to come. I've got confidence that he's coming. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. Because she's ready. That's the first visit. Yeah. And in between, they had some problems. He gets turned back to a young man, and she gets back to a pretty young girl, and they go down and see this old boy down there, some Philistine or something, you know, John of Gerar, old Abimelech, what his name is. And he instead of having sheep's eyes, he gets wolf's eyes. He's the wolf in sheep clothing. Real nice guy, but he liked the ladies. And Abraham gets a bit scared. Yeah. You're still human. You ain't changed yet. There's still fears and doubts and everything else. But when we tell you something, when Sarah, when he came that next time, she knew by what had been going on. And he said, that's the time I'm coming. See? Now look, that's what we're looking at now. Nobody has a record of that time. But was he standing there at the birth of Isaac? Just think it over. Will he be here when that sun bursts upon the scene? Oh, sure, because he'll be in him. See, sure, we're looking to these things. They all type up perfectly. There's no trouble at all. Now, notice also, here, it says, I testify to every man that hears the prophecy of this book. The book is involved. Now you understand what I'm saying? Son of man, books, judgment, judge. Hey? Okay. All right. So we see a chronology here in modern day Bible events. John 5, 22 and 27. Six more months of this weather and I'll think that we had a good winter. Nice, good. 22nd verse. For the Father judges no man, but committeth all judgment to the Son. Hey, that's great. He's here. The judge. The great one. He's not doing anything about it. He's separating chaff from wheat in his own way, but there's no fire to burn. See? Just waiting for that one to be manifested in power. When the fire will break upon the earth and the vials and everything else begin bursting around. Verse 27, he hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not if this hour is coming, with all hear that voice, that they're in the graves, shall hear his voice, shall come forth after the second resurrection. I myself judge, do nothing as I hear, I judge. In other words, only the word is effective. My judgment is just. You can't beat that word. Now listen, a lot of people don't believe that they're sitting here. Well, all right, a lot. You're not a lot of people. But maybe you're sitting here this afternoon and you don't believe God what God said about you. You're blameless. You never did it. Now you say, well, just a minute. I know what I did. I'm not really messed up. So you say, well, I didn't do it. You committed adultery. Well, you didn't do it. Well, I say, well, who had the fun? Don't give me that hogwash. Bunch of filth out of a bunch of barrels. Call the word garbage, send you right down the line with it. This is the pronouncement. See? He didn't do it. He said, I say what my Father says. Now you tell me what the Father is saying. I can only tell you on one condition. Has there been a prophet? Has there been a vindicated prophet? Is it proven that this prophet is one with the word? Is he that real prophet that should come? Then if he's come, he's going to restore. Then she's got to be a virgin, not by the sprinkling of holy water, but by the word of God, she's washed, and she's without spot and without wrinkle. In other words, she's a young, beautiful bride. She doesn't have a wrinkle, and she's so neat and clean and so perfect, she hasn't got a spot. And she's no little Dutch Mennonite girl with a little thing on her head running around. Because that wouldn't qualify. She's got long, beautiful hair that signifies her Nazarite vow, not some stupid church order. She doesn't grow it because Mom and Papa said so. She grows it because there's something in her heart that makes her know it's the only thing that would work. She's judged absolutely beautiful because her Nazarite vow is by the word that she saved herself for it, nobody but the word of God, not for creeds and dogmas. Now, we read this in John. Let's go to Luke 17, 22 and 30. Now, just taking you step by step to show you how this thing works out. Now, you notice I go to the Gospels a lot because there's where the Son of Man is. It's in the Gospels. So I've got to keep going to the Gospels. Okay, 22 and 30. Disciples, you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and you'll not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, see there, go not and follow him. Now that doesn't apply to them, because it tells you he's going to die as the Son of Man, be rejected, and the days will return in the days of Noah. So who is the you he's talking to? Well, you can take it personal. It could have happened there. As far as the purity is concerned, everything laid out, but it wasn't the hour. So who's the you? We are the you who see the days of Noah and the Son of Man. Now, it's going to be in the Son of Man, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Didn't know until the flood came. Those that entered the ark alone were saved. The day of Lot the same way, doing the same thing, only worse. Didn't know a thing.
Even so it'll be when the Son of Man is revealed. He'll be there and they won't know it. The prophet will be there and they won't know it. That's why when he strikes his judge, they won't know it. You follow me?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. If they didn't know the prophet, they didn't know the judge. Come on, if a man doesn't know the word, how is he going to judge?
Right.
Oh, well, this judge will judge by the pocketbook. Jim was telling a case where a kid with no money came before the judge. The judge said, son, I want to ask you one question. How much money you got in your pocket? He said, I ain't got none. What, did you dare to come in this court without any money? I'll tell you where that judge is going to go. He's going to go to hell and burn. And his money will go with him. If he doesn't repent and get right with God. I can tell you right now, I don't hold any hope for a man like that. Not saying he couldn't have hope. We're too near the end of the time. All right, notice the Son of Man again. Notice at what time? 34 to 36. Two will be in the bed, one taking one left. Two grinding, one taking one left. Two taking one left. What it? Where the healthy, where the body is. What body? God's body. The immortal body. The eagles flutter off and take up there. This is rapture time. See? All right. With it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Okay. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, this is for those that are not asleep but are living at the time of the resurrection. Even so will God bring forth those that with Jesus. Or the sleeping Jesus will God bring forth with him. He's going to bring them forth. Right here on the earth. This we study by the word of the Lord. That they which are alive remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take any preeminence over them that are asleep. No preeminence, no nothing. No hindering, no anything. They're just a neuter. They're just simply there in a neutral position. See? They ain't going nowhere. They ain't doing nothing. Now, if we were doing something, we could be preeminent. Hey, look at us, bless God. We stand right here, hallelujah, and we're going to be changed. And nobody else could get changed before. Ain't we something? We've done something. Yeah, you big bunch of dopes, you stood there. Well, that's pretty good to stand, because the Bible said, having done all, stand, stand. So I'll let you have that one. Okay. Oh, brother. Sir, the Word of God puts everything right, doesn't it? It's beautiful. For the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. The commander of the host of the bride comes down to lead her in. Because shout's the military command. Now he's commander. Why? Because he's got the right word. Well, come on, you get a man in the field and a commander gives commands. You get a man in the field and he can't give commands. What happens? The poor army's gone. Now, who gives word? Prophet. Who snaps decisions? Judge. Now, Brother Brand said, the angel came down and said, don't get your lines all mixed up this time. Don't try to teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Or prophet judge standing right there. You see what I'm telling you? There's no way that you can have a judge outside of a prophet. And there's no sense in having a prophet if he doesn't come to be judged. And what use is a judge if there's no authority? So you see what we're driving at and how we're coming to lead this into a place, brother, sister, where the countdown is now. Then we which are alive remains to be caught together in the clouds. All right, now fine. That's what's happening. Okay? Revelation 5 again. Just keep weaving you back and forth until you just finally become a part of this thing. You see, 6 to 10. In the midst of the throne, the Lamb. And so he comes and takes the book. Verse 8, when he took the book, the four beasts and 400 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, everyone having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou hast slain us, the enemies of God, by thy blood of every kindred, tongue, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, Brother Branham said, that's the scene of the bride. Sure, because it's down the road. It's going to happen. Yeah, let's get this flat. Book's open. Prophet comes down. The prophet's the judge. He's going to bind the wheat.
He's going to bind the tares. He's going to collect the sheep. By a gathering together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophets do the gathering. What? The word of the prophet does the gathering. Now, it's happened. So therefore now, this scene in heaven that John saw is now. You say, here, I don't know about that. Don't you understand this is the book of redemption is open? No. The dead know who they are and where they are. We are the ones who don't know who we are and where we are. Now, we've got to know the same as they know. We're not going to have any premise over them, but they're not going to beat us either. They without us cannot be made perfect. Now, with the book open, how are you going to know that you pass from death unto life? Because you're a bride that's not going to die. It's because the books are opened. And the prophet came down. And the prophet's a judge. And with the authority, he says the same as John. You're bride. Now I see myself right here. And I say, well, praise God. I'm looking, for the first time, the book is open, the seals are up. And I know that he was slain. I know I'm redeemed. I know I'm under the blood. I know I'm one of those under every kindred, and I know that I'm going to be a priest and king unto God, and I know I'm going to reign because I'm part of it. Well, that's how you see yourself in the last book of life and see what you are here. Because you see yourself right now, the books are open. And this is the scene. And this scene cannot be one simply there. It's a scene of the composite. You that are alive and remain are seen right here. Now, those that have gone on before, they got the prophets sitting there in their groups. Seven church ages up there now somewhere in a paradise of God. But they got no trouble knowing that this is it for them. They got no trouble knowing. We're the ones. How are we going to know? I've been telling you all the time. Prophet. And the prophet fizzles. Thank God he fizzled. I'm going to tell you flat. If William Branham had a following, when I knew him, I'd have walked off. Like I told him, and I meant it as a compliment, and he took it that way. I said, Brother Branham, I wouldn't walk across the street to see you raise the dead, except I know what kind of a man you are. I know who you are. He said, thank you, Brother Branham. And then goes for his words. I'm not interested in sideshows. Look, I want to know the record, brother, sister. Do I get in, or am I kicked out? Do I get off, or do I pay? I can't wait to tax my income tax return and come back. They got me for $680 this year, the worst ever. One time it was $470. A lot of times they give me a few bucks back. Even when I pay them ahead, they forget that. They still want to soak meters in penalty, see? You talk about a bunch of birds. Huh? Buzzards and eagles aren't the same thing. Okay. The books. Revelation 10, 1 to 4. Books. Revelation 22 and 10. Books. Now, Revelation 10 and 7. Prophet. Revelation 22, 10 to 14. Prophet. Open the books. Now watch closely. I've already done this before you do it again. Revelation 22, verse 13. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and last. Okay. I showed you over here. That's Revelation 1, 17. Went into it. Fear not, I am he that, I am the first and the last. Now he tells you, I am the first and the last, and I am that one in the human body where the body died and rose again. I am that one that's here now, and I am promising you I will incarnate myself in him again. And when I do, I will come back here upon the earth taking judgment and justice. And I will put you here in the millennium. You'll be my priests and my kings. And you'll dance around the throne. And you'll sit on the throne. Yep. You wonder why I say God's doing it, God's doing it, God's doing it. And people say, well, I'm doing something too. Yes, you're getting in the way.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, get out of the way. That's your own thinking. Go. That's the only way he gets to me sometime to bring me a thought. And I'll stand there and say, that's right. Now what is it? What do I mean it's right? And then tell me, show me how it's right. I'm answering your questions. Why? Because it's a divine gift. You're getting help. Let me tell you, I wouldn't waste my time. Why should I take your time? Take all this time. beat my gums out, get a sore throat, everything else, get madder and a hatter when people say the ungodly things they say. But I should know one thing, I'll be sitting in judgment one day. I'm going to tell you something, Fat Brother says, let's get this. Somebody, some of us, are going to be on the throne, and some of us could be standing in front of the throne. I want to be sitting in it.
Amen.
Not because of Lee Vail, but I want to be there just the same. And I'll never get there by Lee Vail, you better believe that. Remember what the prophet said. He said, my thinking will never be the same. Has your thinking changed? Some of you people, I look at you and I know your thinking's changed. The way you talk to me, I know your thinking has changed. That's why I tell you. When this business of those saints talk one to another, they're speaking a certain language, a certain way that was brought out by the prophet. They know righteousness from wickedness. And they know it's not out here in the filthy act of adultery. That is merely the symptoms or the evidence or the manifestation of unbelief. That man, wicked man, came killing his brother and lying. That was not the man. That was only the manifestation of unbelief. See, where real wickedness lies, wretchedness lies, it lay back there when Satan says, I'm going to be somebody. And when you get off that word, you try to be somebody. I'll tell you, I thank God I had to get off the road for 2 years around here. Oh, I went through my own private hell, but never was there such grace. And let me tell you something. Let me confess to you and let you know something. Yes, I went through my problems. One, I asked for. Number two, I didn't ask for. But I got it for good measure. And it still makes me angry within myself. I can still blow my stack. But underneath, I want to tell you this. The grace and the glory and the love of God makes me so grateful. See? And He walks with me and He talks with me. Oh yeah, I learned something this week. I won't tell you about it yet. There's a day coming down the road, I'll tell you. But let me tell you this afternoon. I lie not by the grace of God. Whatever measure of Holy Ghost and gift I've got, it's just around the corner. He said the prophet said so too. Well, he turned the corner, lucky guy. Whether I turn my corner and get out of here, leave this body here, which is fine by me, I'd just like to go now. Because you see, I'm convinced I know what I'm talking about. There's something checking yet, but one of these days that check is going to go. And by the grace of God, I'll go with it and leave the body, or I'll take it with me. I don't lie to you. Why would I lie to you? I got to face God. I'm not up here as a fool. I know I'm going to face God. I don't dare not tell you the truth. I don't dare not tell you what He's telling, but He talks to me. People say, Brother Vail, he talked blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fine. They can sneer if they want. I don't know what talks with him, but I believe I know what talks with me. Oh, yes, it gets gooder and gooder. See? All right. We were looking at this. Now, we saw over here in Revelation 1:17, Revelation 22:13 was the same thing, and with it, Revelation 22:14 to 17. Now, we're weaving it through, and I'll be able to close in the next 45 or 55 or 85 minutes. Somewhere between now and midnight, and I'll give you a snack, and I'll tell you, I ain't going to wear you out, except partway. I promise you, but I always tell lies. I was born a liar and I'll live a lie. I'm sorry. I can't preach a 45-minute sermon anymore. If you want them, get yourself another preacher and I'll come and listen to myself. I'm tired. Okay, 14 to 17, blessed are they that wash their robes that they may have right to the tree running through the gates of the city. For without our male prostitutes, sorcerers, that's the druggist, they give you the wrong medicine. They lace the Tylenol with cyanide. Everything is coming to pass. Come on. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, who loves a lie makes a lie. That's the worst of the bunch. I, Jesus, sent my message to testify these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David, right in the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that hears say, come. Notice the Spirit's there too. So he's not the Spirit that's telling that. That's a man. He says the Spirit there too. All the Spirit's in him. Will be pretty soon now. Let him that hears say, come, whosoever, let him come, take the water of life freely. And I testify to every man that hears the words of these books. If any man add, God will add the plagues. The only time that can happen is now. Amen. Yep. You know why they tried it back in Jesus' day? They wouldn't take him. They added their own word. A mini tribulation. Yep. Thousands died. Titus wiped them out. Their blood flowed like water. They ate their own children. I guess they almost did. I understand some turn cannibal. I don't know. I can't understand those things. I don't know history that well. But at this time, brother, the great tribulation is for adding to it. And it says, you take away. Now, what's worse than adding to the taking away? There's nothing worse than taking away the... That's the worst thing. Because you get your part taken away. You add, you simply get placed. In other words, you take everything that was said. And you add something, you're not half in much danger taken away, because then you take away from the life of God. And if you can take away from that life, there's no life left. That's crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're gone. You're finished. That's what it says here. I don't read the Bible except the way it's read. There's got to be a difference. Got to take away part of the book of life out of the holy city and the things which are written in this book. See? Okay. The foolish virgin can make it. Why? Because she added. She gets the plagues. The life has gone out of the word. She tried to make her own way. These take away. They say nothing to it. Forget it. Goodbye. Deny the whole thing. Turn to Antichrist. Finished. See, there's a difference, brother, sister. Okay. 22. 10 to 11. Now see, first of all, we see the book was closed, then it was open. All the time you're seeing books. 10th verse, the book is open. The time is at hand. What time is at hand? Separation. Rewards. Judging. Presentation. All must appear before the bema, the judgment seat of Jesus. It's not so much a bema is not a judgment seat, it's a bema. It's called a judgment seat. It's not so. Because people don't understand that judging can be unto merit. I told you about my turnips and my carrots when I was a kid. I used to always bring into the fruit to the fair the turnip that had an extra turnip, the carrot that had an extra carrot. And I thought, great Caesar's ghost, this would win double first prize. It got screwed up. I'd go home and I'd get so mad I could never want to go to the fair again. 1 year, no rain. So I never had my pretty little goofy things. And I put my nice little mature ones in, the best they were, and I got first prizes. I got madder than ever. I was really mad. I wanted my own standard. See? Won't work. See? Unto merit. The first merit is given us free in righteousness of God. Well, that's a nice thing, isn't it? Well, I guess we'll let it go for that. How about putting a book here, Steve, or something? We're going to get this thing banged. Breaking the wind. Maybe that'll do right there. I don't know. Maybe that'll do. Okay. The first one, entirely apart from ourselves, standing there blameless in His righteousness. Then the next thing, how we conducted ourselves, redeeming the time. And those various things that crossed our path, we laid up treasure in heaven. The presentation will be glorious, but with the presentation are crowns. See? And jewels. She's like a bride there. Now that's unto merit. There's not one bit of condemnation. Now somebody says, well, hey, just a minute, the Word of God distinctly says in there that gold, silver, precious jewels, and also wood, hay, and stubble, get messed up. All right, let's read the record and find how that works. Come on, I just dare you to do it. Let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter. Let's read verse 23, beginning. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he's a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather suffer affliction of people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin. Hogwash. He messed up. He boo-booed. He frattened out. But there's not one record here of anything you did wrong. The hay and the stubble were burnt up. There's no record. And the gold, the silver, precious jewels are manifested. You don't find Brother Brown in that presentation. He said, there went Brother Neville, and the people cheered and said, hurrah, hurrah, presentation. And he got called a presentation. There's no fear. You'll not be condemned in the judgment, but you'll be appraised in the judgment. And the appraisal is not unto demerits. It's unto merits. There's a big difference, brother, sister. See? So we're seeing the picture in here and understanding it better and better. Now, at this time, in Revelation 22, should take more time, get my notes more careful, because I get my notes more careful, I'm preaching a lot of times. 22 and the 13th verse, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's what we talked about. Now with it, 18 and 19. I testify, every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, now they've been sealed up. Nobody could hear them. Nobody. The book is hand. The man says, I'm eager, I can't read it. Give another God, I'm sorry, he said, I'm not a prophet. I don't know. It's sealed. Now, for the first time, let me go back here. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. Anybody can read, but not everybody can hear. Blessed are they that both hear, read, and hear. Now, anybody can read it. And for 2,000 years almost, it's done some good. But those that hear it, under the thunders, seventh seal, last prophet, God speaking, they're the ones that get the blessing. Now it says, they that hear, when this book is open, anybody can sit down and get those tapes. Anybody can do it. Spread clean around the world. People just mock them, turn to one side. I know a guy that walked out during those seven seals. He said, Brother Branham, I'm making a big mistake. He said, it's wrong. I hate to be where he is today. He doesn't know hardly foot from hand as far as I know when I talked to him last time. Now, we're at this time that the plagues can come or the life will be that is manifested, gone on into the millennium and on to the last time. Now, these books, open book by the prophet brings the book of decisions. Because decisions are right here. Already, all decisions. A book of judgment into full view. As Mount Gerizim and Mount Abel, when the two people stood upon the giving of the word, one went to the cursing, one went to the blessing. Now remember, they were Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. To whom were the laws, the statutes, the giving of covenants, and to whom Christ came as concerning the flesh. So don't think we're going to get out of this either. The church had the books open to it. And the bride was on Mount Blessing, and the church was on Mount Cursing. Exactly. Now, destiny is sent. It is opened or shut right now, for the prophet is already judged with the future only as evidence. You say, what do you mean? The future will prove. The future will prove it. Let's go to Luke 19. Luke 11:27. And as they heard the things he had in the parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God should appear immediately. Now watch that this parable has to do with the appearing of the kingdom of God, which means the Son of Man. Prophet ministry, right? Sure. Absolutely. Let's get this flat. Matthew 17 brings it up. A certain noble went to a far country to receive a kingdom and return. He called his servants every 10 pounds to occupy till I come. The citizens hated him, sent a message saying, we'll not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass when he returned, he received the kingdom. He commanded his servants to be called to him, to whom was given the money, that he might know how much money, much every man had gained by trading. Then the first came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10. He said, well, good thou good servant. Thou hast been faithful in a very little authority over 10 cities. The second said, your pound gained 5. He said, likewise, you get 5. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I kept up laid in the napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a severe man. You take up what you lay not down, reap what you didn't sow. And he said, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore then gave a son out my money to the bank, and I might have required mine own usury. And he said, take from him that hath the pound and give to him that hath 10. He said, well, Lord, he's got 10 already. Well, he said, that's okay. I say every one that hath should be given. And from him that hath not, even that should be taken away from him. But these mine enemies, which would not that I reign, bring them hither and slay them. Now that's tribulation. And the end of the tribulation. That's the days of the Son of Man before the kingdom. And right now he's telling you here. Now listen, this actually, in this portion of scripture, follows Luke 17. Now watch. 28 to 40, the same Luke 19, which follows what I just read here in the parable. When he spoke thus, he went. Now watch him. When he spoke this thing, he went to Jerusalem. They came to Bethpage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives. Go to the village, find the colt. Ask the man never sat on it. They say, what do you do, lose him? Say, the Lord needs him. Okay, you'll bring him. Now, verse 35, they brought unto Jesus, cast their garments upon the colt, set Jesus thereon. He went, as they spread their clothes on the way. He came nigh to the descent of Mount Olives. The multitude began to praise God with a loud voice and for the mighty works, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The King after the judge. Son of man. Before the kingdom. Prophet. Judge. King. See? You can't miss it. Now, notice. 22 verse. Out of thine own mouth will I judge you, thou wicked servant. See? Verse 38. Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. There are those that received. Blessed is the King. Everyone gets judged according to what comes out of his mouth pertaining to the Son of Man ministry. Where do you stand today, brother, sister? I'm not kidding. See, I told you, there's no fooling these messages. The prophet said, what you say about him, you give back, is what comes on. You've got to say the right thing. What is he? He's prophet, not priest. That's priest. He's prophet. He's judge. He's king. And the lap over is right now. And in the lap over, my brother, sister, the lap over goes right into the resurrection. It's going on right now. Separating chaff from wheat. Fan is in his hand. Amen. See? It's a serious day in which we live. Judged by the words of your mouth. And there are those who are going to have to say, yes, I knew that was going on. But we didn't make him king. See? All right. Now, I didn't write the Bible. It's preaching. Now, brother, sister, the judgments of God are in the earth now. Brother Branham said so. For the prophet judges here, soon to be judge king. The office of judge is contingent with the prophet. And the enforcing of decisions is the power of the king. Now, let's look at it. Simple as ABC. David, prophet king. Not priest king, prophet king. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I know I throw an awful lot of material at you, but look, I'll try to rework it for Tuesday. The Lord helping me, this was already reworked for, Wednesday was already reworked for last Wednesday. I started talking, couldn't quit talking. Almost did the same thing today. I don't know what's the trouble. Just think I must have a pretty healthy mouth or something. Yes, I got you, didn't you? You thought I was going to say something else. Thought I was going to say something bad, but I was going to praise myself just a little bit. Oh, a healthy mouth and a healthy tongue is always saying the things of God. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Now the manifestation of that is in the land. For since by man came death, by man came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God. Notice, he is here present as prophet. But he is the judge. Because when he shouts, when the voice comes, and the dead are to be raised. Follow me? It does not bring forth the wicked any more than the shout, which is the message, brings the wicked. Huh? Separates the living and the dead. Now that's the scripture. He's the judge of the quick and the dead. He's the judge of those right now and those that have gone on. And those that are in another place will not hear that voice to come on out. They never will. Because he's going to call his sheep by name. And if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, I'm going to come forth. And I'm not going to come forth just that simple. And the shepherd puts them all before him. And he walks behind. Or he leaps, whatever he wants. Now he's already got a group behind. This group's going to be ahead. Because the first resurrection bunch up there from the Old Testament, the second are coming up there behind, now comes ahead, right? So the shepherd's the middle. Now who's the big one? Popes, preachers, people? Come on. You see why it's so simple to give him preeminence? Amen. Look, brother, sister, you just believe this word, you give him preeminence. Amen. You just talk this word, you give him more preeminence. You just put everything out of your life that's contrary to belief. And that's what I read the other day, and I read also another one. I read two sermons. One is faith, you know, has nothing to do with unbelief. At the time now, separations, complete separation from belief. So here he is. Now, he's come down here to do a job. See? Then when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, he and the Father shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. See? That's king. Put all enemies under his feet, that's king. Now David said to his son Solomon, he said, I got news for you. Let me tell you something, son. He said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, died Dad was a fool died? He said, no. He said, Joab killed him. He said, I want to tell you, I wasn't for that. That was righteous blood. Now he said, you be sure to get Joab for that. So as soon as David died, Joab ran right for the temple. He ran right for God. Oh, now people run to God to the last minute. Help me, Lord, help me. Too late. Well, they said, don't kill him in the temple. Just pull him out and kill him. You're a tough boy. They put him on and killed him. Why? Because Solomon was king in training. Now, what kind of a king have you got if you can't be a fit judge? Amen. Well, you got a louse on your hands. What kind of a judge have you got if he can't play the word, but he plays another tune? You got an idiot on your hands. So you can see how God is prophet, word, judge, king, and he's got an incarnation to go to. And notice how that incarnation works right up and we're part of it. But listen, if you got to be part of Logos, and you're part of Logos, how are you going to miss it? Because in the beginning was the Logos, the Logos was God, the Logos was God. Now we were back there. Minuscule. That's why we're going to reign with him. That's why we're going to judge with him. That's why the whole thing is it is. That's where you get the training in the word now. And the separation right now is over the word. Everything comes out of the prophet. He's the Roman candle. And it always fizzles. Because it's meant to fizzle. Because the savor of life to life is radically few. But the savor of death to death is multitudinous. The Bible says so. Paul speaking there in the book of Corinthians, that's the second chapter. Alright, he says here, the last enemy is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. Now, that's the promise. That's as good as done. When he said all things are put under him, it is certainly true. It is made perfectly plain that he is left out which put all things under him. Now you'll see here, at the presence of the resurrection, the Son of Man ministry, the judge, the ruler, the God is down here. And he's making everything propitious for the Son to step down and him, God, to step back up into him, incarnating. And from that time on, there's a forward movement to bring everything under, in the beauty of holiness, the love of God, the wisdom and glory of God, the bride coming up, and the others going down, the servants coming in, until everything in divine order wipe those out and get them away forever, and set the Lamb on Mount Zion, and the bride Mount Zion, and the others coming around him, and God above. See the harmony we're going to do? And it's going on now, my brother, my sister, it's going on now, and we're a part of it. See, we're a part of it. You've got to know where you're at and what is going on. I am not going to be with those by the grace of God who look back and look ahead. I am looking now.
Amen.
I refuse to find myself in that place because it is not a part of me. The books are opened in full view and interpreted to us. To believe is to be a part of those books, especially the book of life of the Lamb, the book of redemption. And it's going on now. If the prophet Elijah came, then judgment is next. That's Malachi 4. You say, where do you get it? I get it from 1 Kings 18:36 to 41. For when the fire fell, showing God was there, they took the 400 prophets of Baal and they killed them every one. Because the hearts were turned back. Once God gets the hearts turned back and the bride is a virgin again, does he think he wants her out here with a bunch of wolves? A bunch of jackals? Too many people think they're bride and they're playing footsie with a bunch out there. I'll tell you what, brother, sister, if you think you go through a bit of hell right now, you just stay behind for the great tribulation. Just go ahead if you want to see something. I think Brother Brown categorically said he did the Oath of Columbus, which is supposed, I don't know what the Oath of Columbus is really all about. They say it's authentic and the Congressional Library, anything can go there as far as I'm concerned. But I suppose it could be really real. I don't know about it. But they're supposed to cut your belly open while you're alive, pour in sulfuric acid and God knows what, mutilate you until they decimate you and bring you down to nothing while you suffer and suffer. I think I could think of better things then almost. And he said he would sooner have that than 10 minutes of the Great Tribulation. That's what I understand. That's a quote. I don't remember the whole quote on. Where do we stand now? With or against the Word? Christ or Antichrist? You see? Now, I don't dare say this. We're winding down, but you better believe I'd better wind down after 3 hours. I think somebody had better give me a dose of vitamins of another sort. All right. Winding down. In John 5, the Son of Man or the prophet is on earth when he says John 5:24. Now, he is on earth when he says it. Now, I'm in the Gospels on purpose. Verily, verily, I say, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life shall not go into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In other words, when he was on earth, he said, listen, if you hear my words, and there's a key here. This is Revelation. The same John wrote the same book. He that heareth. And you don't add, you don't take. You ain't gonna die. You ain't gonna die. No way. You'll never have a judgment.
Praise the Lord.
Fear's gone. I'll tell you about that sometime. Can't do it right now because I'm not just clear. He that heareth my word. Now don't stop there. Let's go a little further. John 13:20. Verily, verily, I say, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. Okay. All right, let's go a little further. Matthew 23. Let's find out all about this, this business ascending. Verse 34, therefore, behold, I send in you prophets. Those who bring the word, wise men, those who explain the word, scribes, those who simply write and say, here it is. Some of them you'll kill and crucify. Scourge in your synagogue, preach your city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, no blood of righteous, the blood of Christ, Zacharias, son of Bear, cast through between the temple and the altar, and I say, all these things come upon this generation, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and so them send unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together? How does he gather them? By the prophet. How does he gather them? By the message. By our Now listen, just hold your finger there and go to 2 Thessalonians, because that's my next verse of scripture, logically. You know it as well as I do. You've learned these things by now. We've gone over and over them. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. One time is that when you are troubled. Verse 7, rest with us. First chapter, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed him with his mighty messengers and flaming fire, taking vengeance. Vengeance, that which proceeds out of justice. We don't get justice, brother, sister. Thank God, because we don't die for our sins, he died for us. When that one comes, the same one will be in that hour the avenging angel of destruction upon the wicked. But to us, he is the righteous God avenging us, giving us our rights according to the word,
which is, we shall not be in the destruction, for we are not ordained to it. We're ordained unto life. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 is Revelation 10 and 7, the prophet. Is Revelation 22, 10 to 12, the open book. The justified separated from the unjustified. Is 18 and 19, those who leave the book as it is, say exactly what I say. Give back to God exactly as was given us. The rest won't do it. That's all prophets. Nothing but a prophet can do it. But watch. Revelation 22 and 20. He which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That is Revelation 10 and 1. And look at Revelation 10 and 1, rather. That's the one that came down. Revelation 5 and 1 is the one on the throne. Revelation 1 and 12 is the voice. Revelation 1 and 14 describes the voice. That's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. Behold, I send you Elijah before the fire, and he will turn the hearts back. And the judgment is already set. Because, oh, come on, let's read it. Let's go back to Malachi. I said, I can almost quote these things. I've been them so many times. You can too, like you quote them for me. But we'll just go back because at this point, I know my mind would go blank. So I'm not going to even fool with it. The fourth chapter, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord. That shall burn as an oven. All the proud ye do the wicked shall be a stubble. And that day cometh, shall burn as an oven, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving the ruin in that. But unto you that fear my name, the judgment is already set according to those that fear the name. All right. Shall the sun rise with healing in his wings, and you'll go forth and go up as calves will stall, tread down the wicked. Who are they? All right. Verse 16 of chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. See, what is his name? They'll be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and saith the Lord of hosts, the day I make up my jewels, I'll spare them. The man spares his son that serves him. That's the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8, Hebrews also. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. You'll be like Abel, not like Cain. And you'll know who serves God and who don't. Oh, this brother serves God because he's got such a sweet spirit. Hallelujah. And they found out he had about six women in the backyard. Drop dead. Don't give me that junk anymore. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You don't know this. I'll bring it out later on. But a trap was laid not long ago. But they that make traps will fall into them. I'm going to preach a sermon. Don't worry. I'm not over my little tizzy I started up with in this meeting. And we're going to get back to it. Because I want you to know once and for all, you don't make another decision around Lee Vail. You're either sitting here because once and for all you believe. If you don't believe, it's time to leave now. Because I don't want any more headaches. Now, I'm speaking up and all. Don't bother looking quizzical. I'll bring you a message and explain why. What is going on right today. And there are too many people right in this hour, even you sitting here. You are not aware by the time you should be aware. That there's no time to fool. I have not lied to you. Now, if I've lied to you, you come and show me where I've lied. You monitor my phone calls. I'll give you my letters. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what happened in this church or Quince or any place else. Something is happening. Amen. And there's a bride going to get out of here. Now, I preach real hard today to show you what the prophet said. You watch. This mouth had better be the same mouth of the prophets. And this tongue, the same tongue. Because God is listening not to men's prayers. Who would still try to tell you in legalism, well, we'll pray so many hours. Well, bully for you. Go ahead and pray.
I'm all for it. At least we'll keep you out of the bars. But I ain't going to put you in heaven. No, it's not going to. Even the blood of Jesus won't do it. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost won't do it. Because when he died and shed his blood and the life went out of it, that was to come back upon the saints that are living today. Putting them under this covenant. But he himself came down and went into Upper Sheol. Tore the gates of hell asunder. Took death and squeezed his throat until his Adam's apple popped. And he said, I'm the mighty conqueror.
Amen.
And he let him out. Oh, yes, I know he, the blood allowed it. Yes, the blood allowed it. But it didn't do it.
Right.
And it's not going to do it today. God is going to bring them forth. And he's here to do it. Now we've gone back and forth and crisscrossed this. See? Prophet, judge, conqueror, commander, king, captain. Each one of the manifestation. Now I'm telling you, you get your minds in order. I'm not saying you won't have little problems. John the Baptist said, are you the one that should come? After 14 years, Paul said, hey, did I make a mistake? Look. Bigger problems. I'm going to tell you something. This hour is the greatest hour there ever was. This hour is the greatest manifestation there ever was. And people are always looking back. And when you look back, you will go back. And if you fool around and engage in conversations with those who are back, you will soon kiss them and go back with them. I'm not running any shunning campaign here, so don't get any Toledo ideas in your head. Be veiled, and I'm telling you the truth. You do what you want. But I'm telling you flat. That they spake often one to another.
Amen.
The devil's too smart for anybody in this building,
amen,
not accepting me, more than including me. Because I fall flat on my face every time somebody throws me a spitball. I pick it right up and I spit right back and I throw her back. And I get very disturbed and I get very angry. You can see, and I see it up here and I preach and I ain't too nice. But I never deviate from the word. Never leave you hanging on a limb. Look, the judgments of God are in the earth. Because the judge is here.
Amen.
And he's not been an unfair judge, brother. Let's get this flat. He's been very, very fair. When a prophet stands and takes thousands under his control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not one spirit not under his control, and not one thought can be hid. Who's standing here? Not William Branham. Prophet. And what does the word begin to do? Judge. This two-edged sword begins to come out in the land. And cursed be that man whose sword does not draw blood. See, it's over. Now, by the grace of God, I hope by next Sunday, we can take you to the bride and the judge. To come out finding